Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Craft Network. Let's open up in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Thank you for last night's laying down, this morning getting up. Clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, food on the table. Bed paid that wasn't made. Love unmatched. And pray for my daughter, Dimini. At the hospital, expecting childbirth between now and tomorrow. You were to guide her and bless her and the child. As he's blessed all the blessings, and bless my sister Teresa not feeling so well, and always my mother and all our family across the world, New York, Virginia, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Panama. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Yes. I do boxing here now. The Latin side of working on boxing. Let's try to catch it with Gilberto Ortiz. Trying to find those bells to ring so we can get him. So, don't move. And before we do that.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports In Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And now, getting ready to bring you the Latin side. Working on boxing with Gene Gilberto, TKO, top knowledge outstanding in Sweet Science Ortiz. Don't move. We're boxing for you right now here on Sports In Depth Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Hey, June. Yeah. Okay, June, now you said you felt that Pacquiao never should have retired.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think he could have went two routes. I mean, if he wanted to make some more money, I would have taken the rematch with Ugas again.
Mm-hmm.
Or worst case scenario, take a tune-up fight with Keith Thurman and then see if he wants to do the rematch with Ugas.
Okay, so yeah. You're saying fight Keith Thurman, which you win again, then you do Ugas again. Okay, and you talk, too, about Lomachenko being avoided.
What I think is, my opinion, I think that if you want to solidify yourself as one of the top tier dog fighters, pound for pound, I mean, I think in my opinion, I like Teofimo Lopez. I like Lomachenko. I think Teofimo should have gave Lomachenko a rematch for many reasons. One, had he beat him again, the way he did the first time, it would have looked better for him.
Yeah,
and two,
in other words, it's scientific.
And two, he could have made a ton of money off
well,
that.
Well, I mean,
Lomachenko.
Like you said, that's where the money's made. It's signed, sealed, delivered, and then
yeah.
Everything is validated. It wasn't an off night because, you know, it was talk that Lomachenko had some injuries, which was true. So now, you know, hey, I remember Ali when he fought Joe Frazier, and they were saying, the sports writer said, well, Joe said, you know, you don't want to fight him again. And Ali said, never forget Ali's quote, oh, how wrong he is. And I remember Leon Spinks, and people were questioning him going back to Ali after beating Ali, because that's how Kenny Norton became champion, because Leon did, I think, June the right thing. First of all, you know, if anybody deserves a second shot, it damn sure is Muhammad Ali. And then where are you going to make the most money, Kenny Norton or Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, you're always going to make more money on the rematch.
I mean,
and let's not forget, because the titles change hands, you know, the one who has the title holder is going to benefit more than the former.
Yeah, because now he's the champ. He gets a bigger cut. Probably the cut's even, you know, or even more so Ali's Ali. But the point is, and
yeah.
I told Leon Spinks too. I said, you know, Leon, you didn't realize making that move, which was the right move, you made four champions. You won the championship. Ali won it back. They gave the title to Kenny Norton, and then Norton fought Larry Holmes, and he beat him. So that was a four-way deal all the way. You talked to about the fallacy of some announcers saying they think that Crawford is the best pound-for-pound welterweight. And Crawford has made that, as you say, facetious statement.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't tell you the guy isn't an amazing fighter. He's a fantastic fighter. There's a lot of raw talent in the welterweight division. There's no doubt about it. You know, if you're going to call yourself the best welterweight pound for pound, then you got to beat the top dogs in that division. I mean, that's the way I feel about it. And on top of that, you know, you need to go. You got to fight the guys like Earl Spence, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia. I mean, he just fought Sean Porter, but Sean Porter was done. He's, you know, he's just shell of himself. He wasn't. Had he fought Sean Porter 3 years ago, he would have been for a hell of a fight. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and let's not forget that Sean Porter thus far is his best opposition.
Well,
in the
not only that, you know, June, he's fourthened up the Latin side of Brooklyn. He was in for a hell of a fight, but if he fights Sean Porter 3 years ago, he was losing this fight. He damn sure would have won that one. I lost that one, June, I think.
But like I said, it's facts. This pandemic has done so much bad things for the sport. Especially the inactivity for these fighters. Not taking anything away from the fighters, but there's no excuse neither, because they could have still fought in the bubble. But these guys don't want to fight because if there's no audience, there's no top pay. So, you know, shame on them, because if you're a true fighter and, you know, I understand you want to make the money, but you got to stay active. Inactivity is going to hurt more these fighters than anything.
Here's the point you make. You fight four times in the bubble, let's say for $50,000. That's $200,000. As opposed to waiting to fight one time in the bubble for $200,000. But, okay, it's the same amount of money, but, you know, 4 years of four times activity.
Yeah.
It's a smaller tax.
And let's not forget, if your fights are really, if you look good, impressive, and you're knocking guys out, whatever, you're beating them, whatever the case may be, you know, by the time this whole pandemic is over and you've already racked up at least 3 or 4 knockouts during the pandemic, you know what? By the time you reach the level where this pandemic is done with and people are going to stadiums, and, you know what? They're going to see more of you fight. They want to see it. They're going to pay the pay-per-view money. But when you stay to the sidelines and you're fighting, you know, tomato cans like once or twice a year,
like Bessie says, tomato cans.
Yeah, it's you know, to me, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, I know the pandemic has damaged, has done a lot of damage, but, you know, these fighters do more damage to themselves when they stay on the sidelines waiting for this pandemic to just go by.
Mm.
No, man, you got to stay active. Being in the gym is good. You keep yourself fine-tuned, but, you know, you got to keep those tools.
June, there's nothing like the actual, I remember baseball practice in high school. And the baseball coach said, you know, last year I made a lot of mistakes. You know, I did stuff in the tournament. He said, there's nothing to see how a guy's going to react except in a game. Okay? And then, and you're right. And Camacho talked about that too. You know what I mean? June, you also talked about Errol Spence. You know, the lunacy, and luckily not the loss of life, of driving as he did after a big win off Sean Porter, maybe losing his life. And you know, the rumor of alcohol, you know what I mean? But here's a guy who may not ever be the same because of that accident. Okay, you know, him and Porter was a good fight. I thought that he won the fight going away, but he might have been a lot more impressive. I mean, I don't think Levy's going to be 100% in June.
Well, like I said, Doc, you know, listen, you're at the top of your game, man. You're one of the elite fighters. You're a unified champion, you know, and that says a lot. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you just, you know, you train, you fight. You know, this is how you make your living. You're out there, you're drinking. Okay, you're hanging out. You know, you're driving while you're intoxicated. I mean, thank God he didn't kill himself. You know what I'm saying? He walked away. You know, one would have thought that he would have learned his lesson from that accident. But come on, you're still out there drinking, hanging out. I mean, you know, and like I said, all this happens. This happens a lot when you're sitting on the sidelines with all this inactivity. You're not doing it. You're not fighting. You're not preparing yourself for the next fight. You know, at least if you prepare yourself for the next fight, you know that you got to train, so you can't be messing around.
Well,
with
you
like
take
that.
you take away the weakness. I heard a guy say that you know you stop calling your old girlfriend. You know, you don't put yourself in the path of going down the wrong path.
Yeah, it's just to me. I think you know it's sad, you know, because it goes on so much, and it's not just alcohol. I'm sure some of these, I don't know who, but I'm sure they're doing more than just alcohol. Because there's plenty of drugs out there for these guys to be messing around with.
You know, you're saying something.
Like I said, the inactivity, it puts them on the sidelines too much. They got too much time on their hands, so they're out there doing shit.
Yeah, the possibility of temptation becomes even larger.
Yeah, even greater, yeah, of course, yeah.
The late,
yeah,
great Osumi Pedrosa, look at the picture there of him, the great featherweight champion from Panama. And I remember we were somewhere, and he said something I'll never forget. And he said, you know, there's too much drugs in boxing nowadays. And I remember the great boxing writer, Michael Katz, there was a big fight. And he said the only reason why A beat B, because he was doing less cocaine, you know.
Yeah, it's sad, you know. But, you know, hey, these guys, they're grown men. They're family men. A lot of them have wives and kids, you know. I mean, you know, you got to put things in perspective and what's more important. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just me. You know, everybody has their own ways of living their life, man. But, you know, when you're making that kind of money, you know, you want to try and keep securing making that money.
Well, you know, that thing, too, that happens, too, that once you start making that kind of money, you know, you're not getting a nickel bag of reefer. You're not getting a 50. Now you're getting higher grade. And Marvin Gaye talked about that. Latin side of Brooklyn of boxing, Gilberto, TKO, top knowledge, outstanding. And Marvin Gaye said that he hated going on the road because the availability and the accessibility of drugs was there so easy. Because, hey, Marvin, hey, this is my man, Wally. You know, Wally's the car, boom. So, you know, people, you know, were there. Now, the other side that Michael Jackson, the legend that Michael Jackson said, two legends, Mark. Michael said, you know, if they're going to give it to you free, you know, hey, how good can it be?
Yeah, you have drug dealers just to hang out with a
celebrity
guy. They'll be giving them for free. You're right.
For free.
Hold on a second, Doc. Hold on.
Yeah. Working on boxing, the Latin side of Brooklyn on boxing here, talking to June Gilbert Ortiz as we talk about the sweet science. And, wow, hoping you join us here. Right now my daughter Dimini is in the hospital, so we're looking for another grandchild.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. It is not as chilly as yesterday. Yesterday was freezing. I thought about it. I was walking home. I said, man, yesterday I was walking a little slower than I was yesterday. Yesterday was frigid. Today was very cold. But is it different?
Doc, I'm back with you, boy.
Yeah, okay, yeah, June Bug. I was going to try to grab Dusty's drugs real quick. June, I think we had talked about this before. Ezra Charles against Larry Holmes. I got to get to Marion Boykin about the and I didn't know the other day when you called June. Leslie told me that I was surprised that Ezra Charles had like Sugar Ray Robinson also had killed the person in the ring. And Marion Boykin said, you know, and once a fighter kills another fighter, you kind of lose both guys. I remember Ray Robinson said, you know, after he, because he dreamed it, he dreamed, and he called the fight off. They called in a minister to talk to him. No, they called in the priest. He said no. So he finally did the fight, you know, and sure enough, he killed the guy. And in the next fight, he said, I hit the guy, and he fell the same way. So I thought, you know, but you know, the guy got up. But he said something I'll never forget. And it shows you how great Sugar Ray Robinson was. And Marion Boykin says, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson was Muhammad Ali punch. And he said, after that, I only fought good enough to win. And, you know, his first retirement, he was 128-2. It was one draw. 128-2, fighting only good enough to win.
That's unheard of now.
Well, yeah, nobody, you know, there's another rumor coming back to June. And it's that, Floyd Mayweather is contemplating coming back. I read somewhere.
Well, he has an exhibition. If Floyd comes back to boxing, it's not. If Floyd comes back into the game, it's not into the boxing game. He's coming back in for exhibition fights. That's where he's making his money at. I mean, you know, he's retired from boxing. You know what I'm saying? He has another platform of making more money for himself. You know, I my hat's off to him. But those are fights. As much as I love Floyd Mayweather, those are fights I'm not interested in seeing.
Yeah, hold on, June. Don't move. Trying to get Dusty here to join us. Merge the call. Doc Sandy Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust and Guard Radio Network. On the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Don't want June to leave us. But there, yeah. We got him here. Dusty!
Hello?
Yeah, got you here with June, bug. June?
Dusty!
June just said something. He said, you know, Mayweather coming back and these fights against they're fights that he's not interested in seeing.
Mayweather is a limelight punk. He can't be away the limelight. So he makes all these stupid statements. If he comes back, he's gonna get his ass whipped. I mean, who's he gonna fight? Willie Pep or Seth Chandler? That guy ain't gonna fight nobody.
No. Well, he's coming back now. What kind of fight is proposed, June?
Mayweather, like I said, I don't think Mayweather's coming back into the boxing, to his boxing where he was. Top of the top. I think box. The only thing that Floyd is doing, like I told Doc Sandy, I don't knock him for what he's doing. You know, I think he's pretty much earned his stripes in boxing, but he's done in the boxing we know of. The exhibition fights that he's doing now, it's a platform for him to make the millions of dollars that he's making. If he does make a comeback in the real world of boxing that we like. You know, they're not going to pay him the kind of money to fight. He's looking to get paid, what, $50 million or over $100 million or $200 million?
No, you're right.
He won't even get that on fighting Keith Thurman. Okay, yeah. Keith Thurman is done.
Yeah, he's fighting this guy, Lamone, the Twitter king.
He's fighting some rich kid from Dubai. Dubai?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's fighting some rich kid from Dubai. The kid probably has probably more money than Floyd Mayweather has ever made in his life.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
And he's probably willing to pay Floyd Mayweather for an exhibition fight.
Exactly. These guys who are Twitter kings.
Yeah.
He and his brother. Yeah. One of the guys slapped him around and took his hat off.
Yeah,
and,
that's just to draw attention for people. For those guys are YouTube chasers.
Exactly.
You know, when you're big in YouTube, you have a big fan base, and those people tune into everything that you do.
Exactly.
So snatching Floyd Mayweather's hat was you know, he knew what he was doing. He was doing it to grab more YouTube watches.
Exactly.
So the more people that watch you on YouTube, the more people will watch you on pay-per-view.
Absolutely. So you,
you know what? Wow. Hold on. You know, what a great – you know, you hear things here. You know, hear any place that I tell you sports. And June said, you know, but the watch on YouTube, wow. But now
you see these guys, you see these people who are Twitter queens like Donald Trump, who gets all these billions of suckers following him, and Taylor Greene, you know, these people write, and these are millions of people who pick up the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? If you're in sports and you start writing all this crap, and I could beat Floyd, and I could beat Keith Thurman, and I can do this, and I can do that, I mean, people are going to read this, and they're going to be encouraged to do that.
Yeah.
And they're going to go out there and pay the millions that they want to pay, plus the fact that these guys are rich, and the rich get richer. You know, so what happens is the guy from Dubai who probably is some unknown Egyptian king who wants to say, geez, I want to get into boxing. He takes 2 weeks of training, and then he says, I'm ready to fight Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd, you want to fight me? So I'm going to fight. I'm going to give you $50 million. Yeah, of course they pick it up. But into the ring, competitive ring,
okay, but now, Dustin, you were telling us, and June was saying, too, that you said Pacquiao's coming back, correct?
Pacquiao says, I'm going to run for president, but still, I got a lot of fight in me left, and I want to try, you know, because I that's the way I like to live. I mean, this is my life. I don't know anything about boxing. So, all right, come back. Well, who's going to fight? Danny Garcia? Who else? Return with Keith Thurman? Or Spence? Or Bud Crawford? I don't think he's going to fight those guys. I don't know. Pacquiao is gutsy enough to say, I'll challenge these guys.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Pacquiao, but in my humble opinion, I feel he should have never retired in the first place. What he should have done was taken a rematch with Ugas. Or like you just said, Dusty, taking a rematch with Keith Thurman and then fight Ugas for his title.
Yeah, but Ugas creamed the shit out of him, man. I mean,
yeah, he did. But you know what? Win or lose, he would have still made a nice chunk of change, and he could retire with all that money.
And you know what? And you know what he does too. He does what you said, Lopez would have done fighting. Lomachenko again, because there was some talk about that Manny wasn't 100%. So you come back, you fight Ugas, and if you win, you got a trilogy. But if nothing else, you know, you validate the fact that, you know, I wasn't at my best. This time I was.
He's not
going to
beat Ugas.
No, I'm just saying, you know, if it would have happened, he could have said, June, because we got you here with Dusty. What else? Now, there's, and me and Dusty the other day, Canelo going up in weight again, and me and Dusty said that he's going up, but and you know, you can't, it's 6-1 half dozen another. You can't knock the guy because he goes up in weight and wins another title, but he's always taking June the weakest link in those titles, which happens to be falling.
Yeah.
June?
Well, you know, I think he feels that right now in the stage that he's in right now, he pretty much is dictating who he's pretty much picking and choosing who he wants to fight.
Exactly.
He's not giving us, the fans who love to see him fight, love to pay for his fight, who love to watch him on TV. Okay, he's not giving us the fans what we want to see. You know, he's moving up in different weight classes, and like you just mentioned, Doc, he's fighting the weakest links for these belts. I understand what he's doing. That's cool. He's trying to make history, but you know, he says he wants to be the best and one of the best Mexican fighters that goes on in Mexico. Then you need to fight the best fighters, not no weak links for belts.
But you see, you know how he fools us? Mm-hmm. He's fighting this guy in Cinco de Mayo, already got the contract, who is a cruiserweight champion. He has a good winning record, 35 and change, maybe already said Canelo is taking advantage of me. He thinks I'm a pushover, but I'm a world champ. And this and but then again, he's a world champ. But you wonder how many tomato cans he fought to become a world champ.
Yeah.
That's what draws the people. Yeah. This guy's a world champ with 16 knockouts and 35 wins. Wow, that's a threat to Canelo.
Well,
but he's not. Because of the fight that who did he fight? Nobody.
My thing with Canelo is that if you're going to unify a division,
right,
you know, at least fight, you know, guys like Dave. If you're going to stay unified 168, you know, give guys that been there and been waiting for their turn to get a title shot, give them a shot. David Benavidez is the one who won 168.
Benavidez wants to fight him.
He's not going to fight him.
Right.
If you move up to 175, okay, which you already beat Kovalev,
right,
okay, why don't you stay there long enough to fight a guy like Demetrius Bivol?
I'm glad you said that because that's the guy they asked him 3 or 4 times. Well, if I go up, Bivol is a good opponent, but I have other things I want to do. That's telling you I ain't fighting Bivol because Bivol will kill me. So the fact of the matter is you'll go around and look for other light heavies, other light heavies or super middleweights that he can beat. There's a guy, he's a super middleweight. He's a super middleweight champ, a Cuban guy. Last week, I think he fought last week. Was it a Cuban guy? He had 5 fights. He's a Cuban dude. He's supposed to be a champ. Am I confused? Morrell. Isn't he a super middleweight champ? He just fought 2 weeks ago. Some people were from Caraguay, Cuba. And he has a world title.
Good, Jim.
Canelo's only going to fight guys that he's going to pick. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I like Canelo. He's a good fighter.
Listen,
when you're at the level that he's in right now, man, he should be fighting tier top level.
Yeah, but
I'm
you
sorry.
Know what? He doesn't have to. And here's the thing. Doc Stanley, Sports and the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Gov neighborhood, the Latin side of boxing, two of the greatest, Jesse, Baby Lois, and June. Here's the thing. It's 6 and 1/2 dozen of them. He's fighting the weak link, but he's fighting the guy who's going to get the most money he's ever made. He's fighting the guy who's going to get the most exposure he's ever made. He's fighting the guy that, you know, has a very remote chance of winning. So, it's a win-win situation across the board. He gets the title. He beats the guy that he damn near already beaten, and the guy gets a chance to say, you know, I fought Canelo.
Oh, you ever met?
And Dusty, we talked about Manny coming back, and it's like, I remember Larry Holt, and I say this, I remember talking to the great basketball player, Robert Parrish. I said, Chief, what are you going to do next year? And I see his face now. He's in the locker room with his son. He said, I don't know. I said, Chief, you know, Larry Holt said, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life, and people are going to pay for it. You know what I mean? I want to give you, because that way Dusty is jumping through. You know, it seems, and you said that too, June, the perpetrating the fraud of Joshua. Joshua has proved to be nothing as he's supposed to be. You know, he loses, and you said, Junior, okay, you lose to a guy that's a butterball that hardly ever trained. Now, and do what we're saying here too, Dusty, Roy Jones Jr. lost to Crawford, not the guy, I forgot the names, but it was a bad, you know, they disqualified him. The next fight, Roy took him out the first second round. Yeah. Took him out the first round.
Montel Griffin.
Took him out. Now, if Joshua was all that, how do you come back after being knocked out and go 12 rounds? June, you talked about that. Elaborate that, June.
Listen, everybody said, he's back. Listen, he didn't impress me by what he did on 12 rounds with Ruiz at all. If he wanted to impress me or any true boxing fan, he should have knocked out Ruiz at least by the 5th round.
But you see, June, you got to understand one thing, that if he had mixed with Ruiz, Ruiz would have knocked him out earlier. The fact of the matter is, and I told you, Doc, I don't really remember, this is Anthony Joshua was a heavyweight Sugar Ray Robinson that night. Because if you saw, he was just jabbing and dancing. Every time Ruiz moved forward, he moved 2 steps backwards and tied him up and boxed him and moved. And you could
he had a game plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. He stuck to it.
But to me, he still didn't do enough.
What you're saying, Gene, what you're saying, and what Dutchie said, he survived. Okay, he proved he could hit, but he's not a home run hitter. That's what they try to tell us. You know, he sort of been this big slugger, this knockout. Because I remember when he dropped the guy in the first fight, and you could hear the guys from England, oh, now watch Anthony. Watch Joshua fix him up. He's a great finish. And he got finished. So the second fight proved that he can hit, but he's not a home run hitter. And then I think you showed that again, Dusty, in June when he fights the guy that comes up from light heavyweight and loses again.
Another little guy.
Yeah.
The cruiserweight who has a 4 cruiserweight titles. They're talking about this guy cruiserweight with King Kong won last week. But what I'm telling you with Anthony Joshua and Ruiz is that Ruiz, that stupid Mexican, instead of TV sharp, instead of stay sharp, was supposed to be in camp, I think, in September, in July, and they show up to September.
You know, Dusty, you're saying the same thing that June just talked about. These guys' inability to stay active, you know, which keeps them sharp, you know, which keeps them, you know, at the top of the game. And June just talked about that, how, you know, you're looking at, and you know, the guys from your ear with us, see, they stayed in the gym. They stayed ready. I remember Suma Nelson.
Everybody stays in the gym. We stayed in the gym.
I remember.
In between fights.
Suma Nelson.
We never went over 10 pounds over our body weight.
Wow.
These guys coming in 50, 60, 100 pounds.
How many times have you heard a guy gave up his title or it's not a title fight because he came in overweight? How do you have? June, Dusty, how do you have a trainer? How do you have a stretch coach? How do you have a strength coach? I mean, everybody should be fired. How do you come in overweight? You know,
I agree with you 100%, Doc, but you know what? The main responsibility lies on the professional.
Wow.
It's the fighter. He knows. He's been in the amateurs, and he knows. This is things that have been drilled into them since they were in the amateurs. Open up. They should know. Javante Davis is the one that lost his WBA title on the scale. How do you do that? You're a professional fighter. The worst, if you're going to lose your belt, at least lose it to some guy who earned the right.
Exactly.
Not on the scale. That's professional.
But the point you make is like a police officer going out there with no bullets in his gun. You know what I mean? A fireman without without his raincoat. I mean, you're selling the money. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that at one time I was under the impression that my people here, June and Gilberto, and the late Rooney, and Lady A, were the best. But as time's gone on, they're the absolute best. You cannot get any better acknowledgement, education, or whatever's going on, and the extra things that they bring into the table. You know, so often sports in depth turns into, I said, the world in depth. And you're June, you know, you and Dusty, you know what I mean? So much of what you're saying shows intellect. Dusty talked about, June was talking about the inactivity. You know, Dusty, he was talking about, I mean, you're right. How do you be a fighter? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, how do you be a cowboy? How do you be a basketball player? And then not only do you not have a basketball in your house, you ain't got no sneakers. You ain't got no sneakers.
You know? The fact of the matter is that, look, realize something. The fact of the matter is that the word is discipline, even if you are preliminary to a world champ or contender. Number two, if you are a contender and you're fighting for a title or you own a title, there's a scale in the gym that tells you how many pounds you lose today, how many pounds you're going to lose tomorrow, and whatever. Now, there's also the commission inspectors who go in periodically to see the condition of the fighter who's going to fight for the championship and the champion. And they check him. They examine him. This is why that big scandal with Pacquiao when he fought Mayweather. Pacquiao had a vicious surgery justification, rotator cuff, and he lied on the application, and the doctors didn't and the coaches and people covered up for him.
Do we take our hats off to him for saying, you know what, I still want to fight. I still want to give it a shot, as opposed to saying I can't fight. I mean, June? You go first, June. Was he?
I wouldn't give it to him, Doc, because that's I want to see fighters at their best.
Okay.
Top peak physical condition.
Yeah, I mean,
don't make no excuses.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because when you lose the fight after the fact, they're gonna go back on that injury. I don't want to hear that.
That's what he said in the interview. Well, I hurt my arm. And this is what I wanted to continue fighting. Let me tell you something. He could not. The only reason why he went through, that was $100 million
paycheck.
Now, in the Kentucky Derby, the favorite is hurt. Guess what? He scratched. But in boxing, you can't do that. In boxing, you gotta go in blind, stupid, and crazy, because there's so much money involved, man. You know, Bob, you can see in the balcony, $100. Those seats were going for $1,000. Ringside was $18,000.
You're giving us the other side of, but that comes a time though where the people should say, hey man, listen, you can't win this. I mean, because at the same time, Dusty and June, I never get what Alexa Grail said. You know, you can go in that ring at 100% and get killed. How can you go with that subpar? I mean, you don't play. You play basketball.
But you got to understand that there's too much money involved.
Dusty, I agree. Here's a perfect example, okay? The Cuban who got killed against Emil Griffin, his trainer,
Benny Perez. Nobody knew how injured he was.
Yeah.
Did you see? No, let me tell you something. I was there. But, do you know who we were fighting? He was fighting Gene Fulmer. He fought another guy who beat the crap out of him. I mean, he beat him to death. Benny Perez was already dead before he fought Emil Griffin.
Dead man
walking. He had blood clots, man. He already had blood clots. Okay. And he was fighting middleweight. I think he even fought Bob Olson. I got to check it out. But I know he fought Gene Fulmer. And Gene Fulmer beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, he beat Fulmer. I got a chance to meet Fulmer, too. At Doc Stanley Sports Adept, we got the Gilberto Ortiz, Junebug, and Dusty here. Shooting back and forth. If you're around someplace, you want to call in real quick before we calm down to here. June, okay, so we're not impressed with Joshua, but we are impressed with Tyson Fury. Best heavyweight in the world right now.
Hands down.
He's the best.
Yeah, hands down.
He showed
what he had when he fought Klitschko. Also, he showed us not once but twice what he had when he fought Deontay Wilder. Now, to me, I think that the biggest threat at that time, at least we all thought, was Wilder towards Fury.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, this guy is, he's a straight-up pure boxer, man. He's got skills.
Exactly, and it was three times out of three that he beat Wilder. He proved it the second time, and he double-proved it the third time when he battled his suit and in that first fight.
Well, you know, Dusty, in June, I thought when he got up, because I thought he won the first fight, but when he got up from that first fight, that was it. There was nothing that Deontay Wilder could ever do to him again. When he got up from that, I remember the late Bill Shannon, my great friend, the baseball writer, he said, Hector Lopez hit a ball off of Bob Turley. He said, you couldn't hit a ball any further, any harder. And they went into the dressing room after with him. Bob Turley is sitting there, and they said, you probably want that pitch back. He said, nah. He said, that was exactly the pitch we wanted to throw him. And you see what he did with it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That was exactly the pitch we wanted. So, I mean, I just thought when he got up off the – I thought he got robbed. But when he got up off the canvas, there was nothing that Wilder could ever do to him again to beat him.
He got up at a 9 count, and thank God for Steele, who's a sharp referee, who saw that he was viable and competitive. And what people don't see, what people didn't see, at least I mean, because I saw it, was that when Wilder came in with that right hand cut to knock him out, Tyson Fury threw a right hand right in between his guard and stopped him dead in his tracks. And people don't realize that he stopped him dead in his tracks, and Wilder could not throw that right hand. Mm-hmm. That's where he got into a PS6s to the end. And that round normally a knockdown is 10-8. I call that 12th round a 10-9 because Tyson Fury came back and staggered.
You know, it's funny you said that, too, because a lot of people said they thought the 15th round of Ali Frazier won was the same thing. They said Joe dropped him, but Ali came back and won the rest of the round.
Especially
Dusty, when you drop a guy in the first 10, 15 seconds, man, he's got 2 minutes to work that off. Which, ladies and gentlemen, you never heard that anyplace here. 10-9 on a knockdown,
yeah.
Fury Wilder 10-9 on a knockdown. But, you know, I got the best there. June, what else do we need to know about the world of boxing?
Well, we'll see what 2022 has to bring for us, man. I mean, hopefully we should have some good fights coming up. We got the Errol Spence against Ugas.
June, I got Ugas.
listen, I like them both, man, but I got Earl, man. We'll see.
Yeah,
but you know what? It's funny because I was telling Doc before, I want to see what Earl is going to look like in this fight because of the
layoff,
the eye injury, the layoff,
and the partying.
Yeah, and the drinking, man. You know, alcohol has a devastating effect, and that shit shows in the ring.
You know, gentlemen, everybody talks about the drugs, but the thing that does the most damage is alcohol. More people...
Yeah, alcohol is the trigger to the rest.
Yeah, it is.
But you got to understand, too, fellas, is that Sean Porter beat him, and if it hadn't been for that stupid knockdown, Sean Porter, I think that would have mechanic is still giving it to him.
If it wasn't for the knockdown, I would have given it a draw.
Exactly. You see, that's what I'm saying.
But that was a very competitive fight.
Sean Porter stopped him.
And that Sean Porter beat Crawford.
Crawford up by, he beat Crawford by 4 points until his father punked out and stopped
him. Crawford, listen, like I said, Sean Porter was already inactive. You know what I'm saying? The pandemic has screwed a lot of fighters up. I understand it, but there's no excuse for them to stay so inactive. Even if you want to fight, you can fight in the bubble. You make less money, but at least you're still fine-tuned.
They're going up with championship fights, and that's all they, you know, championship and pay-per-views. I don't see what Keith Thurman deserves a pay-per-view fighting this guy who
Mario
was knocked out.
Javante.
So, to me, it doesn't make sense, but, you know, we're so hungry for fights.
Well, you know what it is,
they're just building up, Keith. Because if Keith beats Barrios, then what's going to set that up is Terrence Crawford's going to wait around for Keith Thurman.
Keith Thurman
is. He's going to get his ass waxed. We know that. At least I know that.
No, but they're going to these cartels. These cards. Because the fans are so hungry for fights.
There you go. It's a catch-22. The fans, well, two things. And the boxing fan is the most intelligent fan in all the sports, across the board. But the fans are hungry. And then, you know, Dusty, you sit here, and Dusty and June, you know. But we have to watch it as connoisseurs of the game because it's part of what we do.
Exactly.
You know, and we can't ever lose sight of the fact that we, regardless of the interaction and the friendships we made with the fighters, that we have a love for the game. You know, we have to. There's no way we can say, I didn't see it. So it's a double-edged sword that works. You're right. The fans are hungry. They're starving. They're not as intelligent as people. I think all athletes today are nowhere near fundamentally as sound as the guys of yesteryear. But you're right. It's a situation, and the pandemic now has brought a hunger
you should have seen the audience last week for King Kong fighting Charles Prince or Prince Charles. I mean, the place was jammed with celebrities and everybody coming out of the woodwork because this was a big elimination fight, you know. And to me, I would love to see King Kong against Tyson Fury.
I don't think he doesn't beat Tyson Fury, but he has a great chance. And I would say June and Dusty, he could beat Joshua.
I think right now,
Joshua, this is why I told you this, Doc, if you remember when Big Baby Miller was suspended for drugs.
Ed
Hearns offered King Kong Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder the shot. They all turned it down.
I said he's a good fighter. I didn't say he had any intellect.
I'm saying here King Kong would have been the first Cuban heavyweight.
Taking
that fight.
And I think
actually, you know, the guy he's got such a powerful punch that he almost had Wilder.
Oh yes, he had him twice.
He had Wilder.
Twice until Wilder.
But in the first fight, he had Wilder against the ropes. He had an overhand right. Wilder, it looked like he didn't know where the fuck he was at that minute.
No, he wasn't. That was a preliminary to when Wilder fought Tyson Fury.
Yeah,
because of the fact that you saw the weakness and the man couldn't take a punch.
Yeah.
And even in the second fight with the King Kong, King Kong was slapping him until he got caught again. But that's what I'm saying. If King Kong had been smart and I don't know who his managers were, I would have taken that Anthony Joshua instead of Andy Ruiz, and he would have won.
You know, a guy like Anthony Joshua, because he had lost to then until he fought. He looked so intimidating with all the muscle mass and all that.
Exactly.
You know, people get afraid. They got afraid of him.
Yeah, but you see, that's the problem.
He's been exposed.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem. These guys don't have people who know the sport. You know, a guy like you, Dusty, or you, June, Harold Weston, G.W. Mike, you always say, man, let me muscle. You watch it from your set. And John Condon talked to the late, great John Condon, the greatest PR man history of MSG and my godfather in sports. And I remember he's coming from the guard one day. He said, Dag, there's a guy over there, Dusty June. He's throwing a jab straight up in the air. Who throws a jab straight up in the air? Then Harold comes a little longer. He said, who throws a jab straight up in the air? And then Harold comes a little less. Mel, it's sad. And then Harold told the story of going to a gym, he's watching, and he comes some guys over, shows us some things, boom, boom, boom. And then a trainer walks over and says, hey, man, that was great, you're right, but you know what? We don't want you around here anymore. You know.
Hey, Doc, sorry to interrupt you, brother. Dusty?
Yes.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Doc,
I got to sign off, man, because I got things to do.
Okay.
But, love you, Doc. Dusty, love you too, bro.
We need to talk some more, man.
We'll see what 22 has to bring for us in boxing.
Hopefully we'll get together and start hanging out together again.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Doc, have a good night, brother. Good night,
dude. Love you, baby.
Okay, baby.
All right,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
He's here. Dusty's here. June is here. It's good to, you know, that's the second time we got a chance to talk to somebody. We got GW Mike there on Monday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was good to get him.
June. But you see, the thing is that Anthony Joshua was exposed when he fought Klitschko. People don't remember that.
Dusty, I said, if Klitschko at that time would have had Emmanuel Stewart in his corner, he'd have won that fight.
He won the fight. But the fact of the matter is that when he hit Anthony Joshua did a head dive. He went head first, and he couldn't get up. And when he got up, he stumbled backwards. I figured maybe they'll stop it. But then, being Anthony Joshua, they let him get up.
Then,
of course, they struggled with the thing. But, I mean, as this guy isn't anything. He just happened to be a guy with muscles and fighting his own English
Dominicans. Yeah, but and as a thing too, Dusty, you know, and I said this to you, to your face, I said it to you behind your back. It's the same thing I say about you, about June, about GWA, Lady Mac. You are a eagle, Dusty. You are an eagle dealing with cage porcelain canaries. Okay. You know, eight. So you know, and the things you know, it's remarkable. We're going to run it. It is what I missed. is not only sitting there with your, but the education learning. You're sitting there, whether it's ringside, upset, you say, oh, man, he's working the body. Lady A is talking about footwork. G.W. Mike is talking about how he's throwing, you know, his body. But, you know, the things that you'll see. I remember the guys, Ali, Leslie, Ali, we were at the Gleason's, and we walked in, and Lady looked up at him. She turned to me. She looked at him for about 4 seconds. She said, Doc, he's open for a right hand. These are the things that you'll see, but you all have to understand your Eagles dealing with caged porcelain canaries. You know, you have forgot more than most of these people know. And here's the sad part. You haven't forgot that much, so they don't know that much.
But you know, the thing is, Doc, and this is me, and I'm going to speak for me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm. All three of y'all.
I go in as a fan, but not really a fan. I go in as an analyst. I go in. That's why a lot of times you tell me, Dusty, who you got? Or in the Caden Plant kind of thing. I say, who you got? I say, well, I'm going to leave it. The first two rounds will be pick up. I'm going to see and analyze what each guy does.
Yeah, right.
Now, right after the first round, I knew it was a matter of, I felt that it was a matter of time before Canelo would beat him down.
It's like a hitter. You know, you're the leadoff hitter. You come back, you say, Doc, Koufax doesn't have his curveball today. You got to see him. You know?
Exactly.
Doc, he ain't got his curveball. Marichal's fastball. You're right. The first couple of times, like Willie May sometimes against a rookie would strike out the first time up. Your off-speed curveball. So now, Willie's got him. Willie's in condom now because now it's the seventh inning. Letters on second and third. They pick out Matt Shea. I got him off-speed. So bam! Bam! You know, con man. Him and Frazier. Frazier said the same thing. Watching the game, how guys dribble. Okay, now it's late in the game. Knicks up by three. Frazier steals the ball, scores two. But you're right. There's things that you have to let, you have to see, and you have to let marinate, and you make the adjustments. And you understand too. As much as you are an analyst, as much as you're a connoisseur, still, that's that fan in you. And you know, like Roy Campanella, Major League Baseball is a man's game, but you got to have a lot of little boy to play. And you know, there's a lot of fans. It's just that you know, we happen to be fans who know what the hell we're talking about.
No, it's true. Exactly. This is why I loved it when we got together with Tim Smith and George Wilder.
Oh, man. Dusty, man, I never forget it, man. Tim Smith walked up, man, there goes that Lois again. He's got so-and-so in the seventh round.
Yeah, because I see something different, and this is exactly what I'm saying.
But not only that, man.
You got to sit down round by round. You got to analyze.
Well, because you was there, Dusty. You was there. You can't ever take away from the fact that you was there. You were Golden Glove champion, the AAU champion. You were a top-ranked contender. You were there. You know what I mean? You were there. And that's the guys that blessed that can be there, man. You were there. Doc Kennedy, Sports and the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Dusty, tell everybody good night in Spanish.
Buenas noches, todo el mundo. In June, my God, good to see him. I mean, you know, the heartbreak, and I'm going to say it, is we are not together again like we used to.
No.
The Barclays to B.B. King's to
MSG. Hey, Dusty, you know what? Dusty, of all the places I liked, I love B.B. King. The intimate, up close, you know. Now, all they had with us for us there was a bottle of water, but, man, they gave us some great look. I mean, you know, you couldn't beat it. Right on top of the ring and... That had to remind you so much of the old fight places, you know, where you know everybody's smoking and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was great. But we missed that. The press conference, you know, and what you brought to us at Sports and Death and Black Star News, man. You know, you'd always be there. I mean, you got this. People thought this guy. Hey, this guy, where he's been? Hey, he must be on the card. You know what I mean? You beat this early. He must be one of the fighters. If he's not a fighter, he's one of the managers. You know. Okay, Dutch. Love you, baby. Tell everybody good night. Where's it going?
Okay, thanks. When I was in trouble, take care, God.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Okay.
Happy to you, baby.
Okay, this Dino, baby, Louis, Gilberto Ortiz. Marvin Gaye takes us. We're going our way here. Marvin.
Who really cares?
God bless.
Hey, Dusty.
Okay, God
bless
you.
Love you, baby.
Save the world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Are they gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doctor.
Hey, in this case, little things are sleeping. It's cold.
Town.
Yesterday was brutal.
I saw
yesterday
a roasted
was brutal.
Penny.
Today, I was walking home. I said, I'm not walking as fast as I was yesterday, man. Yesterday was it was nine yesterday.
Down to
it was
it
nine
up.
Yesterday. I looked on the thing today.
I saw
it said, you know, 31. You know, it was
his
actually about 20 something, but still, it was like summer, man. Like summer.
In God, we trust.
Oh. Yeah, 9 degrees, man. You know, I've always said, you know, Bill,
then
when you
suddenly,
are cold,
I knew.
You're miserable. Okay?
But God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand.
Oh, in God we trust, in God. Unless in God we trust.
And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, be still and know that I am God. And I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember
your Bill?
Lost penny and place in me your trust.
Oh, in God we trust. In God.
Yeah.
Your retirement income. If you look at
Oh, I love it down there, man.
Seems our world.
Love it, man. You know, I've been there a couple of times. My man, I have friend Roberto Kelly, a friend of mine from there, baseball player. My man Duran with me and Roberto. And you know, like I said, I will go at him with a couple of things to see if, you know, he can, you know, do something for us. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you with it, man. I'm with you with it. I was on the call. I just happened to guys just do some videos. But yeah, let me know. But I will just ask him, you know, about it, because you know Panama is, you know, I believe, an easy access for us to be in America. In the right hand, yeah. Maybe when my message, you did hear me. Evidently, your radio ain't on.
Radio ain't on.
I said your radio ain't on, huh?
Not at this moment. Let me call the doc and let him know so that the radio can get turned off.
Hey. It's working now.
The bottom line, man, is that, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time for no bullshit.
No.
Basically, you know, we have to be able, you know, I want to be able to do Brazil, Panama, the United States.
Yeah.
And no problem.
Yeah. Okay. Hey man, I'm with you. I know you. You probably it's almost 1 o'clock. There, so you want to get to bed, don't you? Okay.
Yeah. I've been working. I was on the phone with these folks, and so basically, you know, I'm gonna talk to them again. She's gonna hook me up, and I'm gonna try and set something up so that we can get this started, Doc.
Okay. Yeah. Do it, and, because no problem. I'll ask him, because you want somebody. Okay, I'll talk to my man tomorrow, see if he knows anybody. Hey, Bill, I'm with you, baby. Hey. This can, like I said, you can rest easy. Doc is here. You ain't riding alone, baby.
All right. So basically, I'll just send you some texts or some messages just to let you know what comes out of these initial.
Okay.
And then from there, see where we go from there.
Yeah, you can send it here and put it on my email. We'll talk tomorrow, baby. Hey, I'm with you, baby.
Take care, man. Have a good night.
Okay.
And we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, also to my daughter, man. She should be having the baby tomorrow.
Wow, man, that's fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Happy grandfather. I can see it in your eyes.
Hey, baby. Hey, you know you're part of the deal. Billy G.D. Bill GD and Fortaleza. Hey, and also Panama.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, man, I think we need to do this. So I'm gonna get on it.
Bill, it can't hurt.
It can't hurt.
And you know what?
It can't hurt.
No, it can't. And my man and Roberto Duran been telling me that for years.
Yeah. Hey, it can't hurt.
Okay, love you, baby. I talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Bill. Love you, baby.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Tubone? Oh, Tuligamy? Oh, yeah. Okay. Illegal. Oh, me. Spada, spada. They can't chupa. They chupa. Mi bunda? Supersete novamente, por favor. Ah, mi amor. Então, agora, fala Teodoro. Fala Teodoro.
Te amo.
Inglês?
I love you.
Teodoro. Okay, eu mando, de novo para você, I think it's 105, so eu mando to receber amanhã, eu mando a noite para você, because necessary to receber amanhã, see? Novamente, por favor. Meu Deus. Para. Me power duro, para. Ok, so, beef scene 5, e manda agora, sutine amanhã. Ok. Ok.
Em casa?
No, em rua, sim, em casa. Espera, sim, me pau muito duro, tu vê? Duro. Tu chupa? Não, e não. Força para mim. Ok. Boa noite, eu mando agora para você, eu mando dinheiro, números para você. Tem cinco, bom? Ok. Um mais. Um bem, mais. Meu Deus. Para, me pau duro, para. Ok. Esse me pau duro, problema. Ok. Ok, tchau, boa noite, obrigado. Um mais. Oh, meu Deus, para. Sussu também? Oh, man. Minha primeira vez, você comigo, e tipo você toda noite. No problema? Tchau. Okay, I'm gonna get to Doc Stanley, Sports is Dead, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio. Sorry here, so busy. We had the wine in, Trust in God. We're going to close it out now. Larry Hardy, you're going to take us away. Forgive me. So busy listening to the other things here. Here we go. Larry, please.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
All right. We're going to close out with a little music for you, and then we're going to go. I got some calls from Brazil. My goodness, I forgot all about what was on there. This is one of my favorite Marvin Gaye songs. Marvin, please.
Girl, you've been gone way too long. Oh, I really wish. with some new fire.
Felt their world stand still. Oh.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And that's about the end of the show. We're about ready to go. But as Marvin, come get to this. Wish I didn't love you so much. And I know summer's over. Yeah, we didn't open up with Summer Madness, so we're going to close with it. And it's in entirety, because we usually don't play it all the way through. So the song that brings us on, Cool and the Gang, one of the greatest pieces of music ever done by anybody and them. And we usually lose some out this cold weather, too. So the beginning, we're ending. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Close that. I think is that Enhanced Sports joining us real quick?
Hey, Doc, is that you?
Yeah. We're getting ready to close out, though. You got a quick thought for us?
You were discussing boxing. Yeah, I think you said, right?
Yeah, we would coming fights, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury.
Ooh, good fighter. Good
Wilder.
Good fight. Yeah.
Lomachenko, just a horde of things. Just where the big things. We're just talking about the disappointment of guys, so many guys losing their titles on the scale. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust Government Network. Close out in just a second. They've got Enhanced Sports here, Lou. And remember, he is silent on the Enhanced Sports every Saturday. We gave you information. He'll always give it to us. Lou, go ahead. Give yourself a plug, baby. Enhanced Sports. Give us the times and the date.
Okay.
One more time.
Very simple. It's every Saturday, except during the holidays, 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. We go by New York time, by the way. The number to call is 512-543-4662. I'll repeat that, 512-543-4662. Remember, guys, it's a live show and it's a panel show, not just a one-on-one. So it's a group effort. If you have a question, bring it to the table. But if I'm answering another question, hold your thoughts. And when that question is done, I'll get you right on. So don't worry. You will get on. I guarantee that. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We got the final week of the regular season. I'll take calls on the college football championship, which is going to be Monday night. Thoughts and opinions. I'll even take a final score if anybody wants one. We'll look at the – I have some Olympic news. I have some NHL news. I also have some Pro Bowl selections. I'll have an interesting question about the Pro Bowl with the selections, so you might want to call in for that. So if you got time on Saturday between 5 and 7 East Coast time, just dial the phone number, like I said, 512-543-4662. Doc, I would love to have you on. Believe me.
I'm gonna do that. Thanks so much for the invite, especially on the show.
Right.
Also, at the same time, I got to grab your number here. Because they just started talking some boxing, and I said, wow. And then we were just going to do a couple of Dusty came in, and then we got Gilberto. But what I'll do, I'm going to make sure I have your number in the future so I can call you so you can jump. Because you bring so much to the show, so I have to have you with us all the time. We're just running tonight. A couple of things are happening. My daughter gave me a call early, so now she's in the hospital with childbirth. Tomorrow at the night, I'm going to be, by the grace of God, a grandfather again. You know, of course, you know, we got the prayer from my mother, the state. I was talking to my granddaughter last night, too, and she said something. She says, you know, I said, you know, T.G. Demney's friend. She said, yes. She said, she's going to have the baby between now and the weekend. You know, predicted date was the 14th of this month, which was the day before Dr. King's birthday. I'm going to run big birthdays right. This month, sports-wise. Foreman, Frazier, Ali, Buddy McGill.
Don't want to have Frazier.
Yeah, Buddy McGirt, Bernard Hopkins, and the month ends with the first black boxing commissioner in New York State. So who's that? Jack Roosevelt Robinson. Jackie Robinson's the 31st. It's a big month of legends. Foreman, Frazier, Jackie Robinson, Roy Jones Jr. You know, February's a big month, too. I'm going to run because you keep
Jones
me going.
Roy Jones Jr., wow.
Well, you know.
What about Sweet Pea Whitaker? No, I guess not.
I don't know. I don't know what Preno's birthday is. I got to look it up. You know, I got a chance to see him fight a couple times live. Big defensive. No, Preno Whitaker was a great defensive fighter. He reminds me of a center fielder that I couldn't hit, though. You know, Devon White. I'm trying to think of a couple of guys who were just basically couldn't hit, but they could catch. The late Art Russ Jr. told me that as a defensive center fielder, he put Devon White in the same class as Willie Mays. Said that's no more than to be said. But yet, Art Russ is favorite center fielder, even though Willie was a personal friend and Joe D, the Yankee fan, his personal fielder, he said the number one center fielder, his center fielder, it ain't Mays, it ain't DiMaggio, it's a center fielder for Chicago, St. Louis Cardinals, his dad's favorite team because they love the uniforms, Terry Moore. He said DiMaggio conceded what a tremendous, great defensive center fielder he was. Terry Moore was Art Russ's favorite center fielder. Him and his dad were Cardinals fans because he loved the Cardinals uniform. Yep. I got a thing in my collection here, Art Russ Cardinals. I didn't get an autograph, but somebody had gave it to him, and I got Gibson, and I got Musial to autograph it. I think it was Brock and you know Mary Motlin, Joe Ducky Medwick got the nickname because of the way he walked the last National Leaguer to win the Triple Crown. Joe Medwick, we haven't had another National Leaguer win the Triple Crown since him. Like I said, he was a big Cardinal fan because of the uniform, but his center fielder is Terry Moore. That's the guy that he says is his starting center fielder. It has to be hell of a center fielder if he's putting him over Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio. But he was a Cardinal fan, so we give the late, great Art Russ Jr. The edge on that. Lou, we're going to talk to you again during the week because next time I make sure I call you. We've really been in and out, but anytime I see you, we got to stop and have you. But we'll talk before then, and we'll hopefully join you this Saturday. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay. My brother from another mother from across the water. Good to hear from Lou. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, Trust Government Network. Okay, we're going to go. We said we're going to go. You know what happened now? Cool and the Gang wasn't the last as they kind of opened up for us to get to Lou. Always good to have Lou join with us, and always good to hear him. So, okay, we're about ready to let it go. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Happy Tuesday at Brooklyn on Boxing. Gilberto T.K.O.T. President with Dr. Lindley, Dr. Stanley Sr. and his sports posse, Dusty, and Gilberto T.K. Ortiz Jr. is an in-depth, informative, educational, and historical look at the world of sports on this renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. A version of both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective, not only on the sports of our times, but two of the players, performers of the said events, both now and of yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings a unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective. Not just athletics, because that it takes raw, God-given talent. Relation, it too takes a God-blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, belief of competing, and accomplishing too. With in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, Rock's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again. We always rope the rumors, hawk-tie, and lasso the issues, and bend the truth. My beloved mother, Mrs. Vivian Stanley, I got my ticket to glory in prayer, and my beloved daughter, Miss Zimmy Lynn, who at this moment is in childbirth, bringing her first and blessed and beloved child by the grace of God into the world. You don't put yourself on a path that leads you down a path that leads you to the wrong path. Putting and showing me in the right direction doesn't mean you really know the right and actual direction. A lot of people who you think are laughing with you actually laughing at you. Ask any words of wisdom and truth. What's the depth? Bob Tuck Radio on the Trust of God Network. Thanks for being with us. It was all in prayer. Voice of Death. Bob Tuck Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. From the bottom of my heart, I simply say, always, without question, never goes wrong. Trust in God. Voice of Death. Bob Tuck Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network.